Thank you, Heather. Praise God. Oh, I'm excited to be here today, and I'm excited, but the Holy Spirit, His presence is already here, amen? He's so good. He's got good things in store. My name is Karen Petfield. I am the discipleship pastor at Reach Church in White Plains, New York, and, you know, I said it last year, I'm going to say it again. I am the discipleship pastor. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I'm a grandmother. But I'm going to tell you right now, more than anything, I'm a daughter of the King of Kings. Amen? And that's how I stand here with you this morning. And so I've been asked to discuss making room for the Holy Spirit at the altar. Let's take a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence that's already here. Holy Spirit, have your way in every workshop and every session. And Jesus, be lifted up and glorified. We love you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so let's talk about altar ministry. When it comes to altar ministry, what do you hope to accomplish? Perhaps what comes to mind is things like prayer support and encouragement or providing an opportunity for people to respond to the message that was given that day. And you know what? Those are great goals for the altar ministry. But there is so much that we can and we should expect to happen at the altar. At the altar, we can encounter the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the altar, we can experience salvations, baptisms with the Holy Spirit, healings, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and even deliverance at the altar. However, none of this happens without the Holy Spirit. Salvation does not happen without the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says this, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." The baptism with the Holy Spirit, that doesn't happen without the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who does the baptizing, right? And the Holy Spirit is the one who comes upon us with power. Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Amen? Healing does not happen without the Holy Spirit. Divine healing is a work of the Holy Spirit. Healing comes from the Father and through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit do not happen without the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, "All these," meaning all these gifts, "are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives," which means He manifests them to each one just as He desires. And then what about deliverance? Deliverance does not happen without the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that brings deliverance. In Luke 4:18, Jesus said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me." What did the Spirit anoint Jesus to do? To preach the good news, to heal the sick, to deliver the captives, and free the oppressed. Amen? So if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit for deliverance, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit for deliverance? Amen? So have I convinced you yet why we need to make room for the Holy Spirit at the altar? I hope so. But how do we do that? How do we make room for the Holy Spirit? At Reach, making room for the Holy Spirit starts with a question. And if you took my workshop last year, this portion is going to sound a little familiar to you. At Reach, when someone comes to the altar for prayer, no matter the prayer request or how long the person has been attending the church, our altar ministers have committed themselves to asking two key questions. And these questions initiate a conversation at the altar that invites the Holy Spirit to lead the ministry area. The first key question is, why have you come to the altar today? No matter what they say, whether it's for their marriage, for their children, for a healing, for a financial need, no matter what they say or who they are, the first question is going to lead us into the next most important question. The second key question at the altar is this. Before we pray for whatever they mentioned, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and repented of your sin? If you notice, we do not ask, have you accepted Jesus into your heart? We don't ask that question because accepting Jesus into our heart is not the biblical pattern for salvation. Accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior and repenting of sin is the biblical pattern for salvation, right? So if there's been no repentance, there has been no salvation. And if Jesus has not become Lord, guess what? He has not become Savior, okay? So we've asked our altar ministers to eliminate that phrase. We don't ask Jesus into our hearts. We accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we repent. We turn away from sin, and we turn toward God. Amen? Okay. Now, those questions could go a few ways, but typically the answer is yes or no. And if the answer is no, then we ask, well, what is preventing you from accepting Jesus today? And depending on their response, we will share the gospel with them. If the answer is yes, you have accepted Jesus, then we confirm by saying, great. So does that mean you have turned away from sin as God defines sin, and you are living a lifestyle consistent with the Word of God? If that is not correct, we ask them, would you like to turn from that and make a fresh commitment to Jesus right now? If the answer is correct, we go a little further and we say, that's great. Before we pray, let's invite the Holy Spirit to search us and ask if there's anything he sees. Ask the Holy Spirit, search me, and they are the ones who are praying this. Search me, Holy Spirit. Is there anything in my life, my thoughts, my words, my actions, my attitude, my motives that offend you, that offend my God? And then we wait. And almost every time, the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something. If he does, we ask, well, would you like to repent of that? Are you willing to turn away from that? And usually the answer is yes. And then we lead them into prayers of repentance. These types of prayers are deep and specific, and they remove the license of the enemy. This is a biblical principle. When we're discussing repentance, we include forgiveness. Matthew 18 tells the parable of the unforgiving servant. Do you remember that? Saying that the unforgiving servant was handed over to the tormentors. Verse 35 says this, So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Dealing with unforgiveness at the altar opens the door for freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen? So the keys to making room for the Holy Spirit at the altar are repentance and forgiveness. We can't leave that out. So why do we do this? Why do we address sin at the altar? We go through this process because the Bible says all wrongdoing is sin, and it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Isaiah 59 says this, your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. This is sobering. So, if all wrongdoing is sin and all falls short of the glory of God, and sin separates us from God, and his face is hidden from us, and he does not hear, then how can we move forward in prayer without first addressing unrepented sin, right? Unrepented sin, it opens doors that need to be shut. Unrepented sin gives license to the enemy that needs to be cut off, and then we can pray. Clarity about the born-again experience is important at the altar. You see, being born again is not just believing Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins. Even the devil and his demons believe that, and they're not saved, okay? Being born again is believing and accepting his lordship. And if we truly accept his lordship, the overflow is a desire to turn from our sin and to turn towards God. That's repentance, okay? Acts 3:19 says this, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And in fact, these were the very first words of Jesus' ministry. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here." So we can't skirt over that. This is the opportunity that needs to be given at the altar. We have to change our thinking when it comes to altar ministry. When people come to the altar, they may think they're coming for you to minister to them, but that's not the truth. They're coming to receive ministry by the Holy Spirit. Amen. He has to be the one who's leading, and we're the ones who are following and partnering together with him. Amen. So when there is repentance, either from a brand new believer or from someone who is recommitting his or her life to Christ, or from a believer who is convicted of sin that they've embraced, the Holy Spirit may start to deliver this person right there at the altar. This is because repentance removes the license of the enemy, right? So let's talk about deliverance. We know from Scripture that demonic influence is real, correct? We know that from Scripture that deliverance is the children's bread. Who's deliverance for? The children of God, okay? And we know that the ministry of deliverance can happen anywhere. Jesus and his disciples, they delivered on the streets, didn't they? Jesus even delivered in the temple, in the house of God. Who was in the house of God? The children of God, okay? So it shouldn't surprise us that deliverance can happen at the altar. If deliverance can happen anywhere, then when can deliverance happen? Deliverance can happen at spiritual milestones. Deliverance can happen at salvation, because that's when we become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Deliverance can happen at water baptism, because in those waters, we identify with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and we put to death and bury that old man, right? Deliverance can happen at Holy Spirit baptism, because that's when we receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Deliverance can also happen in personal prayer ministry. Making an appointment for deliverance prayer is something we regularly offer at Reach Church. Deliverance can also happen in power encounters. I love this. These are spontaneous clashes between the Holy Spirit and unholy spirits, okay? This can happen when hearing the truth of the Word of God, and this can happen at the altar. You see, when truth is preached with authority, the demons get nervous, okay? And this is because the scriptures say that the knowledge of the truth does what for us? Sets us free, right? So this has become a regular occurrence for us at the altar. How am I doing on time? All right. A few weeks ago, thanks, sis, at one of our Sunday services, a pregnant woman responded to the call to accept Christ. A friend accompanied her to the altar, and I asked the woman the two key questions. And she responded that she wanted to accept Christ and repent. When she accepted Christ and repented, specifically when she started to forgive those who had hurt her, there was a manifestation of the demonic leaving her in that moment. The Holy Spirit delivered her from unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness. You see, when we made room for the Holy Spirit at the altar, this woman got saved and delivered at the altar. Later, I found out from her friend that this was a very big deal, as she had been going to churches for a long time with her husband. She was in church over and over and over again, just like the man in the synagogue that Jesus delivered. But she had not yet made that commitment to Christ. And this is what it looks like when we make room for the Holy Spirit at the altar. Sometimes it happens the other way around. A couple of weeks ago, a young lady, she came to the altar for prayer, and I introduced myself, and I started to ask her the key questions. However, the Holy Spirit was already ministering deliverance before I could finish the questions. Her eyes welled up with tears, if you can imagine this, and she was trembling, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit laid her down. I was surprised. I wasn't expecting that. And when she was on the floor, she started getting delivered. There was a manifestation as the demonic made itself known. So together with another altar minister, we calmly took authority over the demonic and we cast out whatever had been oppressing her and just gave room for the Holy Spirit to do what he does best. We got to really trust the Holy Spirit, okay? And after a while, she sat up and I invited her to have a seat on the first pew. And I asked her, do you know what just happened? And she said, I have no idea. And I told her, well, you just received from some freedom. And she admitted that she had been feeling very lonely and very hopeless. So then I said, can I ask you a question? What's the question that I asked her? Do you remember the question? What is it? Have you accepted? That's right. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and repented of your sin? And she said, no. And I asked her if she would be willing to do that, and she said, yes. And then we prayed, and she accepted Christ, and she repented of her sin. Afterward, I asked her, do you mind me asking how old you are? I thought she was in her 20s. And she said, I'm 14 years old. Do you see the urgency of the Holy Spirit at the altar? This teenage girl, she heard truth preached with authority, and as a result, there was a spontaneous clash between the Holy Spirit and the unholy spirits that were oppressing her. And let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit helps somebody to embrace the truth that is coming from the Word of God, the demons, they start to lose their license to harass in that moment. And I want to tell you, if I had more time, I could go on with testimonies of baptisms with the Holy Spirit, healings, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and more. And this is all happening at the altar. And it's not just once in a while. Every single Sunday, we have 3 Sunday morning services. I never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do next at each service, but it's always good. However, I'd like to go back to deliverance for a moment because I want to highlight some points for us. Firstly, not everything is a demon, okay? But demonic oppression and harassment and influence are more common than we realize, all right? When praying with someone at the altar, the Holy Spirit may deliver that person and if so, we need to consider a few things. First of all, is this person I'm praying for being oppressed, harassed, or influenced by the Holy Spirit? You could even ask them, do you think what you're going through has a spiritual root? Number 2, if this is happening, then that means there has been an open door. There is a permission or a license because the enemy is not all powerful and he can't do whatever he wants to, all right? Some of these open doors include things like sin, trauma, agreement with the enemy's lies. It's a big one. Exposure to unholy things, like pornography, horror movies. Involvement in false religions. Participation in the occult. Word curses. Generational curses. Have you heard of familiar spirits? Ungodly soul ties, and the big one, unforgiveness. But here's the good news. Every permission can be canceled. Amen? Every open door can be closed. Every license can be revoked, and that's done through repentance. Repentance and forgiveness, they make room for the Holy Spirit at the altar. In ministering deliverance, let me tell you, demons are not so much afraid of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is for our forgiveness, okay? You know what they're afraid of? The name of Jesus. So when ministering deliverance, we tell our team to remember his name and remember his authority. Don't step into your own flesh. Luke 10, 17 and 18, they speak of when Jesus sent out the 72. It says they returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And here was Jesus' reply. "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Brothers and sisters, we have his name and we have his authority, and we don't have to be afraid of anything. Amen. The same Spirit who anointed Jesus to preach the good news and to heal the sick and to deliver the captives and to free the oppressed, that's the same Spirit that lives in you and me, amen? This is the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. We didn't get a junior Holy Spirit. We got the same Spirit that was in Jesus, amen? So how do we take authority? How do we use the name? If someone has repented or forgiven, the next step in making room for the Holy Spirit is to take authority in the name of Jesus and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to minister deliverance if it's needed in that moment. So here's what I usually do. First, I declare the rebuke of the Lord. This is after they've repented. I've made sure that they've accepted him as Lord and Savior. They've repented. Then I tell them, "I don't want you to pray anymore. I'm going to pray for you now." And I say something like this: "In the name of Jesus and by the authority of Jesus, enemy, wherever you are oppressing or harassing this brother or sister in Christ, the Lord rebuke you." And then I cast out any unclean spirit in the name of Jesus. And it will sound something like this: "In the name of Jesus, every spirit of fear and rejection that is oppressing this brother or sister, go in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, all unforgiveness, resentment, and bitterness, go, leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all hopelessness, leave them now in the name of Jesus. All grief and mourning and sadness and depression, go. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all rage and anger, leave them now in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, all perversion and you spirit of unbelief, out in the name of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, every spirit of witchcraft and rebellion, go at the name of Jesus Christ." And guess what? They go as the Holy Spirit drives them out. Altar ministry is so much more than prayer support and encouragement. Altar ministry can and should be an opportunity to experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. As at the altar, we have to be intentional. Put a plan together. The Word has given us a plan. Thank you, sis. The Word. There's principles in the kingdom of God. We have to believe them. We have to stand on them. And as altar ministers ourselves, we got to make sure that we've closed every door as well, right? How do we make room for the Holy Spirit? Well, we make room for the Holy Spirit by making room for repentance. We make room for the Holy Spirit by remembering who is really doing the ministering at the altar. We make room for the Holy Spirit by being open to every work of the Holy Spirit, including salvation, Holy Spirit baptism, healing, gifts, and even deliverance. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How much time I got? 3 minutes. All right. Can we stand to our feet? I can't talk about the Holy Spirit without giving him room right now, right? So can we take a moment? Can we give glory to God? Can we just worship his name? Tell him how good he is. Adore the Lord. Is he the King of Kings? Is he the Lord of Lords in your life? Is he the victor? Is he the Redeemer? Is he your Redeemer? Can you give him glory? That's how we enter into his presence. Just tell him you love him. Tell him you need him. Is there an area where you just need to turn from unbelief? Is there an area where you just need to trust God more? Can you just tell him that right now? Say, Father, forgive me. I didn't know before, but I know now, and I want everything you have for me. And that freedom is for me too, and I want everything you have for me. Be lifted up and glorified. Be lifted up and glorified. Oh, Jesus, come on. Come on, we got to press in. Say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Be lifted up. Be glorified, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ha-ta-ra-ba-ha-ya, ka-shan-da-ra-ba-ha-ya, ka-shan-da-ra-ba-ha-ya. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you for everything. And we want you, Holy Spirit, to come any way you want to and to have your way. You're in charge, Holy Spirit. Be lifted up. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I bless my brothers and sisters. I bless them for peace. I bless them for joy. I bless them for hope. I bless them for strength, and I bless them to go into deeper waters with Jesus and to be honors, vessels of honors for Jesus, that the Holy Spirit can have his way. Oh Lord, I bless them for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, come fresh. Holy Spirit, come fresh. Fall on us. Fall on us, Holy Spirit. We love you. We trust you. And Holy Spirit, we say sorry for every time we've grieved you, every time we've not made space for you, not room for you. You're in charge. And today's a new day, and that's all going to change. We love you, Lord. We trust you. We thank you. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would ever like to connect, my contact information is on the screen. And if you'd like to learn more about making room for the Holy Spirit, you are welcome to join us for a 2-session course that we call the 3 Baptisms. It's actually going to take place next at the end of May, the last 2 Thursdays in May, and everyone is welcome to come. I would love to see you there, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift up his countenance to you and give you peace in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you.